This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What a night last night here in Detroit. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We are live today with Evan Canty and Michelle from Detroit's new home for sports, ESPN Bet, at Hollywood Casino, great town. And shout out to everybody here with ESPN Bet. They've done such a phenomenal job. True Green sponsoring our event as well. But ESPN Bet hosting us here in person. Swag bag at the hotel last night.
Nice.
Smalls gets the 3-1-3 versus everyone shirt.
Everybody.
Oh, everybody. I said everyone, right? Sorry, everybody. Yeah. Now, I also have that shirt. I was thinking about wearing it. Probably good that I didn't.
Yeah.
Under the blazer you were going to wear it?
I thought about it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I guess it's good that I didn't wear that. I did have the chocolate, though, that they put in that bag last night.
Oh, the caramels with the sea salt.
Probably could have avoided that. Just saying.
Really?
No, it was amazing, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to eat anymore after I literally had a plate of truffle fries that one Michelle Smallman just left there.
Oh, wow. So you've thrown caution to the wind then.
Yeah, has it been a great trip for me eating-wise.
When left to your own devices.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Grilled and chicken. You had a club sandwich in the Uber on the way.
No, just turkey. Yeah. Just turkey in there.
Oh, just a turkey
yeah,
sandwich.
Yeah, just turkey.
I thought it was a club.
No bacon on it?
No. No, just turkey.
What a miss.
Well, like right? What are we even doing?
What's the point?
What are we doing?
A turkey sandwich.
Yeah,
grilled
turkey
chicken.
With bacon on it makes it better.
Yeah. Grilled chicken when I get home. Here I come because I need a little bit better eating here.
Bacon on that one too?
No, I'm not a bacon guy.
You're not a bacon guy?
No.
What? What do you mean
bacon
you're not
makes
a bacon
everything
guy?
Better.
I don't eat red meat or pork or anything.
Bacon is, I'm about to say bacon is not red
right,
meat.
Or pork. I don't eat that. I'm sorry. I don't know. I eat everything else,
obviously. I don't trust people that don't like bacon. It's too good.
It's delicious.
It's too good.
You know what always hits? A BLT.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I sat at an event yesterday at the little meet and greet we had here with Mike Tannenbaum. Somehow he and I got a table of just scarfing lobster rolls and chicken yesterday. So I had a good eating day yesterday.
Can I ask you a BLT question real quick? No, let's just stay here real quick. Can I ask you a BLT question?
Always.
Can bacon be the main meat on a sandwich? I feel like a BLT is not a sandwich.
What do you think it is then if not a sandwich?
It's like a bad salad on bread.
You
like
know
it's
what,
a
Pat,
bacon's
Pat,
a supplementary
that's
meat.
That's not a terrible take.
Excuse me?
It's not a terrible take.
It's not a bad take. I will give a caveat to Pat, though. I love a nice grilled cheese with some bacon and sautéed onions on it.
Yeah, because bacon's a good supplementary meat. It's good. It elevates other,
no other
things that are already
there's
good.
There's no other meat on a grilled cheese, though.
Yeah,
and
but the grilled cheese by itself is a fine sandwich. That's my point. The bacon only enhances sandwiches. It cannot be its own meat on a sandwich.
Mm. Why are you trying to box or put bacon in a specific box?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Bacon can be whatever bacon wants to be. It can be the main meat in a sandwich, a la BLT. It can be a supplementary meat, a la the grilled cheese with the bacon. But it can be a beautiful topping on a salad.
But you wouldn't eat a BLT without the bacon. You wouldn't just eat lettuce and tomato on bread.
Evan would.
But I would eat bacon by itself, though, Pat. I guess that's the whole point. I would order the thick-cut bacon by itself and eat that at a restaurant.
Oh, the thick-cut bacon
thick
is key.
Thick-cut bacon is key. Is
yeah, but that's
it's amazing.
Not a sandwich.
That's what people were eating yesterday at the event we were at. I literally saw people walking around with the bacon for the Bloody Marys. They were just eating
bacon.
Oh,
yeah, delicious.
But you were saying that bacon can't stand alone by itself, and I'm telling you that it can.
No, as a sandwich. It can stand it alone just as a food. It can't but as a sandwich, though. It's not enough.
I mean, it literally has stood alone as a sandwich for probably 100 years.
It's a bad sandwich, maybe.
Okay, but it has stood alone.
Bad sandwich?
If you put turkey on a BLT, it's immediately
better. It's an elite sandwich.
It's not elite.
Then it's a. If you put a turkey on it, it's a club sandwich.
It's like a day three pick. It's not a first-rounder. BLT is not a first-round pick.
A BLT
it's not a first round pick,
first
but it's,
round
not a,
pick.
It's not a fourth round pick either.
It's a first
it
round pick.
It might be a fourth round pick.
I would say the BLT is a solid day two pick. What? I would say like a low second, high third round
no.
BLT.
You guys are nuts.
I'm just saying. Because, I mean, Pat is right. When you put turkey on it, instantly it shoots up the draft board. It shoots up the draft board. Mm-hmm. The club sandwich, it's absolutely amazing. A little honey mustard on that thing. Oof, set it off.
If you're taking BLT in the first round, then you're the Falcons taking Michael Penix.
No, if you take BLT in the first round, you're the Denver Broncos taking Bo Nix.
Do you know what club sandwich actually stands for? Do you know that C-L-U-B is not just club, it actually stands for something? Chicken and lettuce under bacon.
But it's not chicken, it's usually turkey.
I understand that, but that's how it was actually invented. The clubhouse sandwich, and it's shortened to club, chicken, lettuce, under bacon.
But it should
look
be
it up.
That's a myth, I just Googled it.
It is?
Yeah, yep, I don't know.
There's no chicken on the club. It's always turkey.
You got to be careful with the Google sometimes.
All right, back to you, Bob. Okay, so now we get into the draft from last night. The six QBs in the top 12, clearly the storyline, but the one that we have been debating all show long is Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. Big, strong, older lefty, 24 years old, goes to Indiana, then to Washington. Kalen DeBoer was with him at Indiana as his offensive coordinator. He follows him to Washington, and those guys have insane success last year, obviously going to the national championship game. And he gets drafted number 8 overall by a team that just signed Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons to a multi-year deal for over $100 million. I sat there last night, and I absolutely loved the pick because you draft a quarterback, in my mind, when you want one, not when you need one. CC, I know you're on board with this. Smalls is not. Most people do not agree that this was a good pick, and they're saying that Atlanta does not know what they're doing.
Well, this is a team that's now eliminated the question of quarterback for the next decade, right? You've got Kirk Cousins for the next 3 or 4 years. His contract is 4 years, but based on the structure of it, 3 years of it are practically guaranteed. So you've got him for 3 years, and then you could have the succession plan, which is Michael Penix Jr. It's a page out of the Green Bay Packers playbook. It makes all the sense in the world. It's what functional franchises do. You're not going to rush Michael Penix Jr. out there on the field. There are some things to his game that he's got to clean up. He's got to work on being able to reset within the pocket with his footwork. He's also got to work on being able to play outside of the structure of the offense, being able to play outside of the pocket. He had the worst QBR of FBS quarterbacks in this draft last year outside of the pocket. So those are things that he has to work on, and now he has time to work on them.
Yes.
He doesn't have to rush to be put out there. We know how rookie quarterbacks struggle. It is a different world going from college football to the National Football League. The speed of the game is different. The defenses are different. The athletes that you're competing against are different. So I just think it's smart by the Atlanta Falcons to make sure that quarterback is not an impediment to their franchise putting itself on solid footing. Again, this is a team that hasn't had a winning season since 2017. Mm-hmm. We're going into the 2024 year. That's a long damn time. So, I mean, you got to think about that. You also have to consider the fact that Raheem Morris, their new head coach, at his first stop in the NFL as a head coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his undoing was instability at quarterback. He was rolling out there with Josh Freeman and a hodgepodge of other quarterbacks. So I just think from a coaching standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, it puts you in a position of strength in terms of being able to develop both. And that's why I love taking Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick.
CeCe, please add one other thing onto this argument, because you brought it up, and it's a brilliant take to associate with this. Raheem Morris specifically said what when getting this job?
Raheem Morris said that if there were better quarterback play in Atlanta, he would not have the job. He said that at the scouting combine. Now, you think about that. You also consider where the Atlanta Falcons project with Kirk Cousins as their starting quarterback. This is a team that is a heavy favorite to be the division winner in the NFC South. That means they're going to be a playoff team. That means they're going to be drafting in the 20s for the foreseeable future. When are you going to be up this high in a draft that's this flush with signal callers? It's probably going to be a long time. So it makes sense now to take a quarterback because you're at the top of the draft. You don't have to mortgage future draft capital when you have to transition from Kirk Cousins to another quarterback. And we got to keep this in mind. Cousins is going into his age 36 season coming off of an Achilles injury.
Sure.
How long is he going to be a productive quarterback? Like you just can't operate with these assumptions that he's going to have this Tom Brady-like longevity. So I just think it makes sense for the Atlanta Falcons, given where they're at, given where they were picking, to have an eye toward the future by drafting Penix Jr.
It is a nice insurance policy to have, certainly. And I appreciate them having an eye towards the future and saying, we're not going to be the Jets. We're not going to bring in the veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers and not have a contingency plan. I appreciate that. But I also feel like it's a bit of conflicting ideologies, because you bring Kirk Cousins in, you give him the $180 million because you feel like you can win now. And you said they're heavy favorites to win the division. That's not only because of the talent that they have, but the talent within the division. Carolina's not going anywhere fast. Neither is New Orleans. Tampa Bay had a resurgent year last year, but you don't really feel like they're that big of a threat, right? So you're looking at yourselves, if you're Atlanta, you're saying, okay, we can win the division. But what about further in the playoffs? That's where the question mark becomes. Going out to get Kirk Cousins feels like a sense of urgency move to maximize the talent that you have. But then to have an eye towards the future and draft Michael Penix Jr. and not address an area of need on the team, perhaps on the defensive side, pass rusher, draft somebody that could make a direct impact this season and put you closer to winning a Super Bowl, that one's a little curious to me.
Okay, very fair, right? That is, everything you said is fair. But here, let's do this test on this. Let's do this exercise, so to speak. Prior to last night, the outlook for the Atlanta Falcons was what? Did you think that they were going to win the division? Prior to the draft?
Yes.
Okay. Did you think that they would win a playoff game?
Home playoff game? Yeah.
They should.
They have a chance.
Do you think they would get to the conference championship?
No.
Okay. Do you think there was anything they could do last night that would change the outcome for this season? At number 8 overall.
You could put yourself closer. If you have somebody that's contributing right away.
And let's say the top 7 picks are off the board. So we're not changing the order. We're just saying availability at 8. Is there something they could have done that makes you change every answer I just gave you to something better? Or I just asked you about to something better?
No, I mean, you're only talking about 2 players. That's Latu and Dallas Turner. One went off the board at 15, the other at 17.
If Dallas Turner went there, would you feel better about their chances in the playoffs?
I can't say that without knowing the matchup. I guess my whole point is I already thought they could win a home playoff game based on what the roster already is, based on how the defense was trending, knowing Raheem Morris's track record with working with defenses, also knowing the weapons they have on offense. Mm-hmm. I already thought that they could win a home playoff game. Beyond that, I'm not sure. A lot of it depends on development of players already on the team and also what's going on with the rest of the conference. I don't know that adding Dallas Turner or Latu Latu makes a material difference in terms of what they would have been this year. Now, could that change in terms of what they could be in 2025 and beyond? Sure, but there are a lot of unknowns there. I guess my biggest question is the unknown of the opportunity cost is not greater than the unknown of the version of Kirk Cousins that's going to show up in a Falcons uniform in 2024. And that's where the hedge against that by drafting Michael Penix Jr. to me is a smart move by the Atlanta Falcons.
I love it. You guys know I love it. It's very much within the quarterback rules as featured on ESPN.com, where you say you draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one. It is the most important position in all of sports by a mile. And if you believe that Michael Penix can play, and Chris Canty, who played 11 years in the NFL and won a Super Bowl, has been telling us for months, this man can play. This man can be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you also believe Kirk Cousins can play, you now are set up for the next decade, potentially, at the quarterback position. How many other teams around the NFL can say that? Because you can say they could have helped with pass rush, they could have helped with another wide receiver, lineman, whatever it is. If you don't have a quarterback, none of it matters. And the Atlanta Falcons last night put themselves in a position to potentially have a legit upper echelon, top half of the league starting quarterback for the next decade by way of 2 different guys in Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. Outside of Houston, I don't know how many other teams can say what Atlanta now could say if it works out. Coming up, Smalls will give us her winners and losers from last night's draft. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Shout out to Big Sean in Detroit. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2 and ESPNU, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Michelle Smallman, alongside Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. and 2024 NFL big draft winner, Evan Cohen,
who had quite the night.
Your Patriots get the future quarterback in Drake May. Well, your Patriots for now, your team for now, and the New England Patriots get the future in Drake May.
Right.
The Atlanta Falcons draft a quarterback when they want one, not when they need one, giving the quarterback
rules
even more validity. I forgot, got to pat Drake May on the back.
I feel like LeBron. Not one, not two, three times.
You were subsequently then removed from the draft. You still had your moment
Details,
in the
I mean, whatever, yeah.
You also had Bill Belichick with our Pat McAfee being a media star last night.
Yes.
Evan's boy. Billy, what do you call him? Billy B?
Billy F. Baby.
Billy F. Baby. And Evan, the only one in the crew that could secure the Uber last night.
Mm.
He couldn't have had a better night.
I had a good night. You know, CeCe was leading the draft after night one. And what I mean by that is he had dinner with the person that owns this whole place. Because all of a sudden you see CeCe at this event and I'm like, who is he eating with? Like, I don't know these people. And then you realize, oh, I see who he's eating with. And then he, what did you say? I make friends quickly.
I make fast friends.
That's a smart approach. Well, Evan might have been the big draft winner out of the three of us, but let's run through some winners and losers from the NFL as far as the 2024 NFL draft is concerned. All right. My first big winner is Detroit. Not only the city of Detroit, who absolutely showed out, you guys. 275,000 people downtown last night to attend the draft. They absolutely crushed it. The logistics were great. The people were so friendly and helpful and navigating. The setup inside the theater was beautiful with the screens and the light show. It just felt so major. They had Eminem come out with Roger Goodell, so the boos faded into cheers. They had legends right now with the Lions, as in Jared Goff, also legends of the past, as in Barry Sanders on stage. I just thought Detroit did an amazing job with the draft, and they also won when it comes to their pick. No one, I think, impressed me more and maybe us more throughout this process than Terrion Arnold.
No doubt.
Cornerback out of Alabama. He's an impressive person and an impressive player. They got the best player available, and it wasn't a position where they needed to upgrade. He's going to upgrade this defense immediately. I absolutely love this pick for Detroit.
Yeah, and they didn't sit on their hands either. They went and got their guy, which makes all the sense in the world. Like, go ahead and trade up. They did the dance with the Dallas Cowboys, made sure they positioned themselves to get ahead of some cornerback needy teams, namely the Baltimore Ravens, that were picking in the latter part of the first round. So I absolutely love the Terrion Arnold pick. That was absolute winner.
Next one, the Chicago Bears. This one might feel like an obvious one, but when's the last time we really felt this good about Chicago Bears football? Mm. They made some really shrewd moves this offseason for a team that finished 7-10 last year and somehow still had the first overall pick because of Carolina. The defense improved last year. They made improvements on the offense. Now they got seemingly their franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams. Oh, and by the way, they gave him an absolute monster of a weapon and wide receiver, Romo Dunze, who said prior to the draft that he would love to play with Caleb Williams in Chicago. It feels like that tandem is going to grow together. I love what the Bears did last night. And it's cool to feel good about Chicago Bears football. First time in a long time.
But that tandem between Romo Dunze and Caleb Williams, damn well, better work. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about it. I don't know that we've seen a number one pick have more pressure on him since Eli Manning in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not hyperbole. Think about it. Not only does Caleb Williams have to be that much better than Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky, two quarterbacks that didn't have the weaponry that Caleb Williams has to work with right out of the gate, but he has to be better than C.J. Stroud, too,
right,
as a rookie. Because the Chicago Bears passed on C.J. Stroud last year when they had the number one overall pick. They traded back with the Carolina Panthers, allowed the Panthers to move up. Think about that for a second. That's the bar to clear for Caleb Williams. Like, he is coming into a ready-made situation to have success. Second half of last year, the Chicago Bears had the best defense in the NFL based on defensive EPA. They were that good. They were second in takeaways from week 10 on. This is a good defense. You've got weapons to work with on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line is better than advertised. If you're Caleb Williams, you have no excuse not to have success as a rookie quarterback. So there is absolutely more pressure on him going into this season than we've seen on a number one overall pick since Eli Manning.
I been thinking about any argument I could come up with in terms of like however many guys you just referenced from 2004 until now. I don't know that there's been another quarterback drafted number one overall that has to be good individually and team has to be good upon arrival. Joe Burrow was good and his team got good because of him. They didn't have to be, right? Like they did not. Bryce Young was neither last year, but didn't have to be. His team actually has to have a winning record this year because it's only a two-game improvement, and he has to be good enough to lead them to a winning record. I believe they can do both, but I think it's well said by CeCe. I think he's 1,000% right on this.
But he's going to have to do so in an NFC North that all of a sudden is a very tough landscape, right?
Loaded.
The Packers, loaded. The Lions, still going to be right there. And my next big winner, also seemingly going to be there, the Minnesota Vikings. In the lead-up to the draft, we talked so much about the draft capital that they had. Would they jump up into the top three to get the quarterback that they needed? They didn't have to. They get J.J. McCarthy, who's the quarterback of the future. And they also get Dallas Turner. They get to number 17 from Jacksonville. They had their top three edge rushers leave last season. They're able to get Dallas Turner, an unbelievable prospect out of Alabama. They improve on both sides of the ball. The Vikings, a big winner last night.
Absolutely, and I don't think the Vikings forced it either. They wanted to clearly move up into the top five. When that became obvious, it wasn't going to happen. They did the next best thing, which is pivot. They gave up some draft capital to go from 11 to 10 to get McCarthy, but they've upgraded at a quarterback position, especially knowing the need, considering the division, but then also they were able to get another premier player at a position of importance in edge rusher to give Brian Flores another weapon to deploy against those NFC North quarterbacks. I think they had a home run night, the Minnesota Vikings. They absolutely knocked it out of the park, even though they had to pivot from what the original plan was, which was to try to get into the top five to get one of those top three elite quarterback prospects.
All right, we talked about a lot of winners. Let's swing over to the other side, the losing side. I don't feel great about the Broncos taking Bo Nix. They have been in quarterback purgatory for a while, since Peyton Manning left. It's guy after guy after guy. It's such a carousel at the quarterback position. And they get their guy in Bo Nix, but does he feel like the guy? Does he feel like someone that's really going to change the way we feel about this franchise? I want to give him and Sean Payton the benefit of the doubt. But he is the sixth quarterback ranked in this group for a reason. It just feels like a desperation pick, especially in some of the comments that are coming out of Denver after the pick. Sean Payton saying that he had the pick ready to take Patrick Mahomes when he had the chance, and he feels the same way about the Bo Nix pick that he did about the Patrick Mahomes pick. When you're talking about a quarterback in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes, that's not good for that prospect. That's not good for Bo Nix. I just don't know if I see this one working out, guys.
I'm trying to figure out who is he trying to sell. Is he trying to sell the media? Is he trying to sell the fan base? Is he trying to sell the guys in the locker room? Is he trying to sell himself?
Maybe all three.
all three or four. But like, why do we need to know all of this backstory with you wanting to draft Patrick Mahomes and it not working out, but you have that same feeling, quote unquote, when it comes to you drafting Bo Nix? Don't sell us, dog. He was the sixth quarterback off the board. As an AFC front office executive told me, there's a reason why this guy played in 61 games in college, because he wasn't good enough to leave earlier in his college career. That's what it is. And even when he was forced to come out, guess what? He was the sixth quarterback off the board. Just because there are a lot of teams that are desperate for a quarterback doesn't make you right for taking him in the first round. I don't feel great about it, especially knowing the fact that they're going to have to play him early with a roster that's not ready to support a young quarterback.
One quick thing, guys, here. For ESPN Bet, okay, so they have Caleb Williams MVP odds sitting at plus 5,000 right now. Before we leave here in Detroit, is that the type of play you may make here? So you have plus 5,000 Caleb Williams MVP. Of course, ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN, and the only place to find offers from your favorite shows and personalities like Stephen A. Smith. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Would you make that bet?
No, because I don't think they're going to win the division.
No.
It's not a crazy bet. It's really not. Everyone's going to bet on Stroud and Love this year for MVP.
So you think the Chicago Bears are going to win the division?
If they do, he's going to have to win the MVP, right? So plus 5,000, that's where the value comes in. Coming up, it's just basketball. Next on Unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The voice of John Ireland, ESPN LA, 710 Lakers Radio Network. Denver up 3-0, the champs on the Lakers last night with a 112-105 victory. Jokic with 24, 15 boards, 9 assists. Aaron Gordon with a big night, 29 and 15. CC's favorite player, D'Angelo Russell, had no points in a game where AD had 33 and LeBron had 25 last night for the Lakers. And while there was certainly an interesting soundbite post-game with LeBron James, as all of us are discussing, well, obviously the NFL draft, as we've been discussing here in Detroit, but the end, most likely, of the Lakers season and the drama around that. And here is the king post-game.
And it's just basketball. At the end of the day, it's just basketball.
Michael Jordan would never.
Oh, no, he wouldn't.
Michael Jordan would never say that. Like, it's just basketball. No, dog, we know what this means to you. But him saying it's just basketball is him conceding that the Denver Nuggets are just that much better. This is a team that they haven't beaten since December 16th of 2022. It's been 11 straight games that the Denver Nuggets have won over the Lakers. They're making you love it now. They are making you love it right now. If you don't like it, you're going to love it. And for as good as LeBron and AD have played throughout the series, it's just not enough. And just think about how good the front court for the Denver Nuggets was last night. Michael Porter Jr. has 20 points, and Jokic and Aaron Gordon combined for 53 points and 30 rebounds. The Lakers have no answer for the Denver Nugget starters. And we knew that this was going to be a tall task because they had played more minutes together than any starting five in the NBA throughout the regular season. So, I mean, I knew what time it was when I saw that this was going to be the draw for the Lakers after they won the play-in game. It's a bad matchup for them in the Western Conference Finals last year. It's a bad matchup for them for the first round this year. And this will be the second time that LeBron James has lost a first-round series in the playoffs, and it will be an unceremonious fashion because they are breaking out the brooms on Saturday night at the Crib. This is over. This series is a wrap.
Oh, yes. Teams up 3-0 in a best-of-seven series are 151-0 all-time. 151-0.
Smalls, I have a question for you.
Sure, shoot.
Who's happier today that Michael Penix was drafted number 8 overall by the Atlanta Falcons? The Penix family or LeBron James?
Well, I would say the Penix
family.
Because
it's just basketball is
their life
thrown to the side.
But I will say, for LeBron to make those comments and it to not be the top line
right
of the docket for us to discuss today is rare. Because we would usually lead the show with, it's just basketball. And while that's an incredibly healthy approach for him to take, when do we see that from the greatest? When do we see the greatest in whichever game they play ever have a healthy approach to anything? This is a man who spends over $1 million on his body to make sure he's ready for moments like this. And for him post-game to say, it's just basketball at the end of the day, that's someone telling you that they know that they're about ready to go on vacation.
It's year 21 for you, LeBron. It's about competing for championships. That's it. It ain't about nothing else.
Yeah.
What is it about? I mean, you already got the all-time points record.
Right.
I mean, you already got pretty much every individual accolade that you could accrue in the sport, except for Defensive Player of the Year, and we know that still bothers you. But, I mean, you said it yourself. You're chasing goats. The only way you get closer to Michael Jordan is quite literally by winning more championships. And you're not close based on what we've seen in the last two playoff series that you played against the Denver Nuggets. You're not close. And think about this. You got a guy in the starting lineup that played over 20 minutes last night and had 0 points.
And is a scorer.
And it's a
That's
score.
Like literally, he's not Dennis Rodman.
He's supposed to be your third option as a right. scorer. Yeah. D'Angelo Russell. He had 0 points. Evan, that's like me being a starting defensive tackle in the NFL and having no tackles after a game. Like, no, you can't even get a jump on the pile, dog. D'Angelo Russell had as many points as me last night, and I'm in Detroit, not L.A. Like, I don't understand in what world is that acceptable. And then on top of that, we get the news that D'Angelo Russell is potentially going to opt out of his contract. Yeah, that's supposed to pay him $18.5 million next season. Like, think about what world is it okay for a guy to have 0 points in a playoff game and opt out because $18.5 million just ain't enough going into next year?
Yeah. Does it feel like the right time to make that stance now?
Probably not. But, I mean, it just shows you the state of affairs when it comes to the Lakers.
Sure.
And so everything that's not named LeBron and AD is on the block, ready to be moved this offseason because they have to dramatically reshape this roster if they're going to take advantage of the twilight of LeBron James' career and get him in a position where he can compete for titles.
Why exactly not AD?
I mean, AD is really, really good basketball player.
I'm not arguing that.
A really good basketball
player. And that gets you where?
Well, it got you a championship.
Not currently.
Yeah, but it did get you a championship.
I'm saying that I agree with what you said, but I have one add-on. If the right offer comes in for Anthony Davis, you have to listen to it. If LeBron is there and he allows you to listen to it, you have to listen to it.
You think there's more value for Anthony Davis around the league than he currently has for the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, we've talked about the idea of Kevin Durant on the
okay.
move.
All right.
We've talked the idea about Donovan Mitchell on the move. We've talked about the idea of Kyrie Irving on the move this offseason. We've talked about the idea of Giannis Antetokounmpo on the move this offseason. I'm not suggesting the Lakers are getting any of these guys. What I'm suggesting
Well, yeah,
is,
if you could get Giannis, then
right.
that's a different
But what I'm suggesting
I don't
is,
think any of those other guys that you just listed represent a better running mate for LeBron James to compete for a title.
Sure. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying when you lose in the first round and you're a play-in team, everything's got to be on the table. It just has
to. Yeah, but everything being on the table might not allow you to retain LeBron James. And that's the delicate dance that the front office for the Lakers are going to have to do. Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka.
Okay, so it's not probably for today because this series is not over, obviously.
Oh, it's over.
Technically, it's not over.
They would be making history if it wasn't over.
But we are going to have the conversation at some point, I guarantee, in the next few months. Are the Lakers better off just saying goodbye to everyone and restarting, including LeBron James? I'm not suggesting that's the right move. What I'm suggesting is that will be on the table for a conversation about them even hoping that he does opt in, or would they ever consider moving him if he wanted out?
Treating a star like LeBron James like that is not on the table.
Yeah, but he may do something he's never done before, which is say, I can't win here. I'd like to go to blank to finish my career.
If he wants to leave on his own volition, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're not pushing LeBron James out of the door.
Definitely not.
That's Understood. Not the history of this franchise. Like they don't handle stars that way, but that's why they always get stars.
Yeah, understood. Understood. I'm just saying, when you lose this badly, that's the right way of saying it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's going to be on the table for discussion.
Sure.
Not for action, but for discussion.
You're answering calls.
Yeah.
You're answering calls. People are calling about AD. They're calling about – you're answering calls.
And you're talking to LeBron, and you're saying – I mean, remember the whole Warriors thing around the trade deadline this year. We're not that far
LeBron
removed.
LeBron did say he wanted to play with Steph.
We're not that far removed from rumors. It was only in February. Right? I mean, it's not that crazy. By the way, note from Adam Schefter here, at Adam Schefter on Twitter, our show ombudsman. Chicago's number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, broke the Fanatics record for draft night merchandise sales for any draft pick in any sport, beating the previous record set last week by Caitlin Clark.
Wow. That's impressive.
He has a coolness factor, and I also think what has happened, I think, which is an awesome thing, as logical, sane people are looking at it and saying, who cares if he paints his nails in whatever phone case he has? And now fans of the Bears are starting to paint their nails as a bit to support this guy.
I love it.
And he's going to get some sort of nail endorsement deal or makeup endorsement deal.
He should.
Go for it.
Just make sure he goes for the gel manicure, though. What did he say?
The Russian gel. It stays on for 5 weeks.
Yeah, got to go with the gel manicure. That's
you know, because he's out on the field. He can easily chip the polish.
Exactly.
Make sure it's in place.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I love it. I mean, he's representative of Gen Z. I completely love it. Some NFL scout said that this guy is like having Prince as your quarterback.
Yes.
And so they're hoping that it's going to be game blouses for the Chicago Bears for the entirety of the season. But the personality quirks don't bother me. The thing that's most important is the confidence that Caleb Williams plays the position with. That's the biggest part of being successful in the NFL, especially at that spot, is having the confidence where you believe in yourself, but also where everybody in the franchise believes in your ability to elevate them to where they want to go.
And I love that the confidence isn't too confident. I love how last night, even though we all knew his name was going to get called first, how excited he was, how fired up. He was moving to get to the stage. He wasn't taking his time to pose for the camera. He was hustling out there. He was yelling. He looked like he wanted to get on the field right now, which I loved. But those jersey numbers tell you not only how popular he is around the sport, but how desperate Chicago is for this guy to be their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, they're desert thirsty for a franchise quarterback.
Oh, my gosh.
Desert thirsty.
But, Smalls, I'm glad you just brought up what you did, because I was standing right there as he said hello to me after I said hello to him, because I was very awkward with him walking off the stage. Anyway, he was screaming. This guy has known he was going to be the number one pick probably for 2 years.
Yes.
And he finally hears his name called, and he was screaming so happy and so excited. We're showing the video on ESPNU that it's genuine with this guy, and he feels like a guy that it's easy to root for. All right, coming up, CC's best bet of the night and many unsportsmanlike moments from the draft. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
I'm going to profit off of my pain this weekend. We're going to go to the association, the playoffs. The Nuggets visiting the Lake Show on Saturday night at the Crypt. This feels like the long goodbye. It's the inevitable that we know is coming. It is Nikola Jokic. It's an immutable force. It's like gravity. The Denver Nuggets make it 12 straight wins over the Los Angeles Lakers on Saturday night. Right now, I just think that they are. It's a thing for them to dispatch of the Lakers in unceremonious fashion. Like, it's a big deal for the Lakers. It's not a big deal for the Denver Nuggets. Apparently, LeBron James is trying to downplay the importance of playoff games now and saying that it's just basketball. And so, as a Lakers fan, I only take that to mean that this is not a team that I can take seriously in terms of trying to fight back in this series. This is not going to be what we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals last year when the Seas got down 0-3 and then made a Game 7. Yeah. It's not going to be that. The Lakers are done. It's a wrap. And so we're going to take the Nuggets, they're slight favorites in this game. We're going to take them on the money line, and we're going to take Nikola Jokic to go over 39.5 total points and rebounds. So Nikola Jokic over 39.5 total points and rebounds, and the Denver Nuggets on the money line to get the sweep over the Lakers. That pays out at plus 143.
The only reason I think you may lose your bet, and you're going to hate me for saying this, but also may agree with me, is if they're up so much that they take him out where he doesn't even play the fourth quarter. Like, is it crazy to think that this becomes one of these mail-it-in, garbage-time kind of games?
Ooh. That would hurt.
You could
envision that though.
It could happen.
Nuggets up 22 after three. They take him out, and Michael Malone says to Jokic, if they get within 10, you're coming back in, but otherwise we're resting you for the next series.
Stay fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, do I have to switch the bet now?
I'm just throwing that out there because
it's a possibility.
You have written them off. You have written them off, so that's why I'm saying it that way. All right, you can think about that while we get to the unsportsmanlike moments of the draft last night.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles. We have talked a lot about them over the course of the regular season, into the playoffs, into the offseason, but not as much from the draft last night. That's not to say that they didn't have a good pick. They actually really did. They took Quinyon Mitchell, a cornerback from Toledo, who CC happens to love. Well, they were happy about it also. Guys, let's look at Nick Sirianni, the head coach, his reaction after they drafted Mitchell, what he did to Howie Roseman. All right, so they're in the draft room, and they make the pick, and he decides to slap his boss on the tuchus. We okay with that?
It was just a very awkward butt slap, too, because Howie Roseman was turned away, and he kind of, it looks like a firm slap.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if I was him and I saw my secondary last year, I might be that fired up, too, knowing that there's help on the way. But I don't know. It just felt like a very awkward butt slap. But would you expect anything different from Nick Sirianni?
Yeah, it felt like he was an opportunist with the butt slap, right? It's like Howie Roseman wasn't looking him in his eyes, and when he turns away,
now's my moment.
He just takes advantage of the moment. I don't know. It felt like a violation. We might need to get human resources from the Eagles involved in that one. There might need to be a full investigation launched.
A butt slap opportunist.
They got a little handsy. Now, that went further than you went with Drake May last night. Like, you did the triple tap with Drake May when you hugged him.
Yeah.
That's
a
different thing. Like, this goes a little bit beyond that.
I have to say, I'm surprised Evan didn't do the Nick Sirianni. He was very excited for Drake May to come down.
That would be wrong if I just started slapping Drake May on the butt. The butt slap is either with the friends or when you're in uniform for a good play.
No, the butt slap is never acceptable.
With friends? What do you mean with friends?
Let me tell you something. You know what women don't do?
I was trying to set something up here. I've had my butt slapped.
Congratulations?
Well, we learned more about our teammates every
quarterback.
Single day. We love.
Yeah, you did. I have seen a quarterback.
I was always anti-butt slap, like on every level of sports that I played in, always anti-butt slap. A pat on the back, a tap on the helmet. Okay, cool. Don't need to slap me on my tuchus. Don't need it.
I mean, when
don't need
when
it.
Brady Quinn gave me the butt slap at an event in December, I felt cool. I'm not going to lie. If Nick Sirianni did, I would not.
So you feel like the butt slap is endearing?
I do.
I feel like the butt slap is offensive. Don't do it.
Don't do it, Evan.
No, I was just leaning back.
Don't do it.
He got kicked out of the draft. Now he's trying to get kicked off the set.
Don't you do it.
I literally kicked off the set. Literally.
I squared off on Evan when he turned.
Chanty will boot you off the set.
I squared off on you. Like, please don't do it.
This is one of those
don't
things.
Do it.
I don't understand why guys do this.
I don't either.
You know what women don't do? Wind up and slap each other on the butt all the time.
Exactly.
It's like when you guys were playing, you played soccer growing up. It was never like, hey, great play.
Guess what my girlfriends aren't doing? Slapping me on the butt.
Well, I don't mean now. I mean
it's a hug. It's a high five. If I scored a goal, I'm not getting slapped on the butt by a bunch of women.
There's only one person where the butt slap is acceptable in my book, and I got papers on her. So she got my last name. That's the only person where the butt slap is acceptable.
She's allowed.
Period, point blank.
All right, let's move on. So the Khan family owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
And Tony Khan also owns AEW Wrestling. Okay? Mm-hmm. So last night they got a shot of the draft room. And Tony Khan, I'm going to need Pat, who follows wrestling more than I do, to help me on this. But he was wearing a neck brace, Bobby Petrino style. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pat. That is actually him leaning into the bit from the AEW, right? Where he actually was hurt in wrestling, and he didn't want to kayfabe break character. So he wore the neck brace during the war room at the draft. Correct, Pat?
It's not a bit, Evan. He was pile-driven by the Young Bucks. Ridiculously, might I add. He was attacked in cold blood by Jack Perry, son of Luke Perry.
Cold blood. Wow.
And pile-driven into the ground. His father came out. It was ridiculous. It was an offensive attack. It was worse than a butt slap.
It's awesome.
I'm sorry.
It's worse than a butt slap.
It's almost as ridiculous as his father's mustache. I mean, Sean Conn's mustache looks like he's straight out of being a Bond villain. Like, you know what I mean, I don't think the mustache gets its proper credit. Like, it could be an extra in Tombstone, the movie.
He's right. Committed to that
he
mustache.
He is committed to that mustache, right?
Think about the maintenance required for that thing.
He looks like the figure on the top of the Monopoly box.
You got to get to one more thing.
He got the mustache.
Guys, we got to get this.
Got to the cons.
We got to get this. Nuno last night, diehard Giants fan.
Oh, my
Smalls
God.
Filmed him as the Giants were picking sixth overall. The man was shaking. I think we have the video and audio, hopefully. Let's take a listen and watch on ESPNU.
Please, God, no.
All right. He's closing his eyes. You can see him breathing heavy here. They take Malik Nabers, and he gives out this breath of like, oh, thank God. He was very happy.
He thought it was going to be J.J. McCarthy. He was relieved that they did the right thing with Malik Nabers.
Greeny up next. We are on to Monday. Thank you, ESPN Bet, here in Detroit.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.